When we communicate, we obviously want to win. I want to spend some time on the pre-presentation checklist. So you're like, yeah, okay, get to the meat. Let's talk about it. Time out. Hold on. Too many people go to a presentation, they wing it, they don't prepare, they don't have time. But let me just tell you right now, when you give a presentation, it's too late to learn presentation skills, number one. And number two, you're either going to pay with your preparation up front or lost money on the back end. You get to choose. This is important. I know it takes some time. I know you're busy. These skills, these questions will really help you develop a persuasive presentation. Henry Ford said it best. Before anything else, getting ready is the secret to success. You have to think it through. I've developed some questions to help you prepare. Some experts, and you're not going to want to necessarily hear this, say that for every minute you speak, there should be an hour of presentation. I don't know if you have time to do that, but if you want to hit a home run, it's something to think about. We know that customization is critical. Now, once you have a presentation down, that's good. I've heard a lot of presenters say, you always give the same potatoes, but you need to change the gravy a little bit. And that's part of the checklist. That's part of being a professional. The way you speak at a funeral or a training meeting or an after-dinner speech or a sales presentation, and depending on the audience, is very different. So when you go into a presentation, you have to think about engineering. You're engineering a persuasive presentation. Not just a presentation, because anybody can wow an audience with a presentation, but are they going to do what you want them to do? There are a lot of great presenters out there, but they're not persuading anybody to do anything. The audience feels good, but they don't do anything about it. First thing, nuts and bolts you have to discover about your audience. We're going to talk about that. The next is design your presentation to fit that audience, and then, of course, deliver it. What do you need to think about before your presentation? I know this is not the most exciting of topics, but I'm going to go through things step by step that you need to think about, that you need to do before you deliver this presentation. You need to do a little research, ask some questions, so you can deliver a persuasive presentation. First things first, let's define your goal. And it might be a couple of these. Are you there to persuade? Get them to do something, to amuse them, get them to laugh, just have fun with them, just connect with them. Do you want to educate them on something? Or is this a training? You're going to train them about something, how to do something, something very specific. Are you there to enlighten them, help them feel better about themselves in the future? Or are you there to influence them? Remember, persuasion and influence is different. Persuasion is what you do when you say, influence is who you are. So if you already have a relationship with that audience, you're probably there to influence. I feel, and this is my personal opinion, that pretty much every presentation has to have some element of persuasion or influence in it. You probably want to get them to do something. Now, every once in a while, you'll do an after-dinner speech, which is just fun, but still, there's some core message there, something you want to take away, something you want them to do. Know your audience. What are their demographics? Why are they there? What's the old WIIFM? What's in it for them? Why should they care? Why should they listen? What are you going to say in the first 30 seconds? What is their attitude and their interests? These are things you have to ask yourself ahead of time. Do you know their demographics, their age, their income level, their education? Now, this is where people tend to blow it. They say, well, everyone should listen. Everyone should buy. And that's probably true. I'll agree with you on that. But who is the person that's more likely to buy? If it's mostly men, sure, some women are going to buy it, but you're going to focus on the men. Are they mostly young men? You're going to focus on the young men. Sure, some older men are going to buy it, but you focus. It's a better use of your time. Do they have to be there? Do they want to be there? You want to know that ahead of time. You want to know what are their challenges, their concerns, their attitude towards you, towards the topic, their interest, what they like to do, what they like to listen to. What are their wants and their needs? And what are their capabilities? You've heard this before. The mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. How long can they take before a break? Before they need a cigarette? Before they need coffee? Before they need the restroom? What can you say that they can understand? What are their capabilities as far as a presentation or group exercises or things you want them to do? Get as much information as possible. Customize. Understand. Because when it feels like you're talking to them that you understand them, the doors of influence swing open. Something you don't want to do is to be general. Even worse, if the audience feels you don't understand them or their company or what they do, then you will not be very influential. You have to do an audience analysis. How big is it going to be? That affects your presentation and your PowerPoint or exercises or breaks. The physical setting, is it in the boardroom? Is it at a hotel, in somebody's home? Is it a webinar? That all makes a big difference. The time of day, is it in the morning, in the evening, on the weekend? It makes a difference. People tend to be a little more stressed out in the mornings. Tend to be a little more relaxed towards the weekend. Time of day matters, and that also depends on profession. Do the research. Ask the questions. Get as much information as possible. So just some fundamental questions to ask yourself as you prepare for this presentation is, what do I want to accomplish? What do you really want? What is your call to action? What exactly do you want them to do? And you build your whole presentation around that. What will make my message clear to my audience? Is it an example, a statistic, a study, a group exercise? What is it that will make your message completely clear? What can you do during your presentation, before your presentation, after your presentation that will increase your credibility and trust with that audience? Who can introduce you? What can you mention that will enhance your credibility? How can you come across as the expert? Remember, there's 12 laws of persuasion. The more you use, the more persuasive you are. So you decide ahead of time, what laws of persuasion are you going to use? And what do you want them to do? Physically, what do you want them to do? Is it run to the back of the room? Is it to hand you a credit card? Is it to go to a website? Is it to sign a petition? Is it to want more information? What do you want them to do? How can you make it simple and easy for them to do it? Other things, their current acceptance level. What's their knowledge? Okay, what do they really know about your topic? What do they know? What have they heard that's been completely wrong? Maybe they've never heard anything about it. Maybe they don't even know they need it. What do they know? What are they going to compare it to? You need to know this before you go out and do your presentation. Number two, what is their interest level? How interested is the audience in your subject? On a scale from 1 to 10, what is it? 10 would be a very different presentation than 1, and also a different presentation than 5. Do they care? Do they want to hear more? What is their background? Remember we talked about demographics? Their background, their experiences, what do they have in common? What organizations or unions do they belong to? What experiences can they relate to? Who can they relate to? Is there someone in everyone's background that they can relate to, that they respect, that they would listen to, that you can quote? Then you think about support. How much support already exists for my views? In their minds, are they supportive already? That's a different presentation than if they don't support you. How many people in the audience support you? What percent? Are the people bringing you in, are they the main supporters for what you'll be talking about or what you want to implement? How much support do you have? If you don't have any, maybe you want to bring in your mom, put her in the front row, so you at least have one person that will support you. But you really need to take a look on how much support you have. And beliefs. What are my audience's common beliefs? Remember, a belief is something that guides their decision making. Do they have a belief about you, your product, your service, the company you represent? Do they have a belief that could help your ability to persuade and influence? Do they have a belief that will hurt your ability to persuade and influence? Final thing I want to talk about is visual aids. Oh, visual aids. Well, we need to talk about this because it does make a huge difference. Some studies show that the right visual aids increases your ability to influence by 40%. Most people are visual people. When you have the right visual aids, it increases credibility. It increases comprehension. So you come across as more credible. They understand more. It keeps their attention, and it helps retain what you've taught them. How's that for a win, 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 win? When you have the right visuals, retention can go up 25 times. Maybe you've heard this before, that we remember 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, but 80% of what we see, hear, and do. The common here being see. Now, I'm not talking about some fancy PowerPoint with things flying all over the place and there's not enough light to see your face. First of all, PowerPoint's okay, but you're the presenter, not PowerPoint. Keep it very simple. Have light on your face. I'd rather have more light on your face and less on the screen so they can see you. You're the one building credibility. Make sure PowerPoint doesn't become the presenter and they don't look at you. They don't listen to you. They're just watching the fancy pictures fly around. I would try to make sure that there's only one slide for every couple of minutes. I would make sure you don't read from the slides. They can read. They know how to read. This is a big complaint. Be very careful with PowerPoint as a visual aid. And if there's a 5-10 minute spell where you don't need PowerPoint, they don't need to look at PowerPoint, here's the secret. Put in a black slide and it looks like it's blanked out. Very simple thing. Visual aids are powerful. There's just something about visual aids. Think about logs burning in the fire and we're all attracted to the fire. Now here are a few guidelines. Keep it simple. Now you want to be able to grab their attention. It needs to be meaningful and memorable, but it needs to be simple too. If it's too complicated, they don't get it. There's too many things flying around. They don't understand it. It hurts. A confused mind says no. A confused mind is very difficult to influence. And don't hand them out. If you hand out photos or a part of the proposal or the whole proposal, they're looking there. They've lost their attention on you. Be very careful with the visual aids you hand out. You probably want to hand them out at the end. If it's a proposal, maybe hand out page by page. Otherwise, people are going to jump ahead and they're going to lose focus on you. Make sure they're easy to read. The font size on a PowerPoint, make sure it's easy to read from the back of the room. Use color effectively. Yellow and orange as a PowerPoint, it's not very good. Use colors that contrast with each other. Please use visual aids in moderation. You can use them here and there to keep the audience's attention or even awake the audience. The goal of a good visual aid is to support your message. Keep them interested and increase retention. The good note is a good visual aid, you will come across as more credible and more professional. Make sure it's in the good category. When we look at complaints with visual aids, I've talked about a few of them. The room is too dim, they can't see your face. It's too small, they can't see it. It could be a PowerPoint, something you pulled out of your pocket, some type of example. You stare at it as you talk. You're talking to your visual aid. Remember, keep it out of sight until you need it. Now, as we talk about visual aids and you preparing for your presentation, think about other things. It doesn't have to be PowerPoint. You don't have to use PowerPoint. Challenge with PowerPoint is now all of a sudden you're scripted. Slide by slide by slide. People use way too many slides, and if they want to add something or subtract something, it's very difficult with PowerPoint. But a lot of companies want to see it, want you to use it. But there's other things you can use. Yourself, your body, that's a visual aid. Bring in an object or a prop, a handout, photos, DVDs, video clips, YouTube, flip charts, overheads, all different things you can use as visual aids. Preparation is key. What do I want you to do? So I want you to take a look at your product, your service, whatever it is you're attempting to influence other people to do, and figure out, What is the demographic of the 20% of the people that are buying 80% of your product or service? What do you know about them? What is their average age, their average education, their average beliefs? What do they have in common? That'll help you in advertising and marketing. That'll help you in your presentation. Get to know who is the majority. Now I know, what about the other people? Don't worry about them. If this 20% is buying the 80%, and you get the 20% to double that 80%, magical things will happen to your income. So think about, who is that majority? What is their main challenge? What is their main concern? Because remember, as a persuader, as an influencer, you are a problem solver. What problems do they have? What challenges do they have? And how are you going to solve them? Time to communicate to win. And to win, just like sports, you have to prepare. You can tell at any sporting event who's prepared, who's done their research, who's watched the films, who is conditioned, who is ready to play, both mentally and physically, and that's your goal as you learn to communicate to win and become a power presenter.